Afternoon. It's great to see all of you back here for the 1 o'clock service. It's always a joy to be able to get up in front of y'all and to be able to participate in worship in some way. I hope this lesson today magnifies God and is enriching for our lives and praises Him in everything that is said. It's that time of year where we celebrate one of the most food-filled holidays. I look forward to it every year. But I've told myself that I'm going to not eat as much this year because I decided I want to lose weight. So pray that I leave at least half the turkey left this year. But anyway, you know, it's that time of season where families are getting together to gather around we probably remember maybe a scene or a picture of, you know, the family getting around the table with, you know, all the food around the table. Maybe they have something that they want to give each other and just to have a wonderful time, just to spend time together for, just this one day. You know, I suppose that, you know, it's so easy for us as families to get together and do this, and, you know, and there's others that are not as fortunate as we are to have these kinds of opportunities. But I think sometimes, apart from this time of year, we really struggle, whether individually or even as the church alone, that sometimes we struggle with gratitude, with being thankful. I think there are times that, you know, maybe we subject ourselves to ingratitude and not being thankful. You know, we as Christians, or even just as people of this world, we've been blessed with so much, and to not give thanks for always for the things that in which we have been supplied with, it hurts. And I'm kind of the same way. It's just like, you know, like if I've I was blessed to be given a job at this congregation, I was really thankful for it, and there have been some great things and that have happened that I believe that have happened since I've been here. And but sometimes you just get so focused on doing things that you just forget to thank God for maybe what's going on. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul wrote here saying, "But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth." And also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul writes again, "For this reason we also constantly thank God, that when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." These passages, it tells us that we need to always give thanks. Granted, the context here is talking about giving thanks because of the salvation in which Christ has given to the church. But I think it tells us that we need to be thankful in everything that we do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." When Paul is writing this letter, these two letters, he talks so much about giving thanks and what it means to do that. It almost seems that, you know, Paul was bound to always give thanks to God. And if Paul was bound to do that, then so are we. We are to always give thanks to God for what He has done for us. And right there, still in 1 Thessalonians 5, surrounding giving thanks to the Lord, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We're told to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully and hold fast to that which is good and abstain from every form of evil. When we stop being thankful and when we stop pushing one of these things away, where does it end, or what's going to happen? We can't have one and not have the rest of everything else. It won't be the same. It's important that we always continue to give thanks to God for everything that he has done for us. And so the purpose of this lesson is designed to remind us of just a few reasons that we ought to always give thanks to God. One of the greatest things, or one of the greatest blessings that we have received from God, is how He made us. He made us in His image. That's one thing, that's the first thing that we need to be thankful for, is that we have been made in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them. The point about this verse is that it brings out to say that God thinks that His creation of man was good, and that we were better than anything He had ever created. And in accordance in saying so, He said, "Let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky, over the cattle and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on this earth." God gave man dominion over an earth that He has given us to live on. That's something that we need to be thankful for. That's part of being made in the image of God that He has blessed us with. That we have an earth in which we rule on, in which we live on, and are dominant in that space. Another part about being made in the image of God is that, you know, is about the spiritual life that we can have in God. Is it not good news to know that we'll survive the death of our bodies, the death of our physical bodies here on earth? And are we not thankful that everlasting life has been extended to us? God cared so much for us that He gave His Son to die for us. Because we are made in His image, we are able to conquer this physical life and live with Him eternally in our spirit, in our spiritual lives. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 goes on to say that to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. When Jesus comes, that inheritance that has been extended to us, that has been promised to us, will be revealed. Heaven will be revealed in its full glory to us, as long as we continue to be thankful and continue to do what God has asked us to do. Being made in the image of God, and by trusting in the one that God sent, I can be released from that fear of death, and you can be released from that fear of death. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 says, "Therefore, Since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. It would be a shame to still be part of this physical world when Christ comes back, when he decides that it's time for him to come back and depart us right and left. But if we are in him and we take hold of that promise and which he has given us, and we continue to be thankful for what he does for us, we can be released from that fear of death. It just goes to show that there's another reason that we can be thankful, and that is it's because Jesus cares for us. Jesus cares for us. It's a terrible feeling to think that nobody cares for you. And there are many that suffer in this kind of loneliness. As Christians, you know, while we may have our moments of discouragement and of trials, I think that we can never truthfully say that nobody cares about me, because Jesus does. Jesus cares about us. He cares about you, me, individually, and together. You know, with talking about people suffering, you know, in this loneliness, I'd say, you know, probably one of the harder things for me is, you know, not being around my fiance all the time. But, you know, I knew that would be, you know, one of the things with getting the job here, that, you know, at least until October of next year, that is something that with being around her every single day would be something that I would have to, you know, be willing to get through. And so far I have. I came to a great place that has a great eldership that has, you know, allowed me to have time with her while I have been here. And, you know, it's been very encouraging for me. And they've been a wonderful help. And the church has been very encouraging to me in the work that is being done here. When you are surrounded by this encouragement, you start to feel not as lonely. You start to feel like you're part of a family. And it's family where you don't feel like you're ever alone. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Says that we're to cast all our anxieties on him because he cares for us. We're to cast all our anxieties on him because he cares. He doesn't want you to go around struggling and thinking that, you know, that no one is ever going to be there for you. He wants you to know that he is there for you every step of the way, and that we can be thankful and should be thankful for that, and always giving thanks that he is there. Hebrews 4:15 even goes on to say that for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Jesus cares about us because he knows exactly what we're going through. He experienced it for himself every day that he was here. And probably maybe the hardest point in which he would have been tempted, apart from right there before going to the cross, would have been right at the very beginning when Satan himself was tempting him in the wilderness. But the thing is, he had nothing to prove. He only cared about what was coming and what the mission of his heavenly Father was. And that was to seek and to save the lost, and for Jesus to join in at the right hand of God. And that's what he did. He focused on that goal. He didn't fall to the temptation, and he was thankful to God for the life in which he was able to live while he was here. Are we not blessed to have such a Savior that was willing, that is willing to care for us in all these different ways? Because he did give his life, another reason that we can be thankful is that Jesus is our justifier. In a sense, when we obeyed the gospel, Jesus, even though he is still our judge, but at that point he became our justifier. He became the one that who we chose to be as our ruler, and but also the one that will judge us for the things that we do, but he's also the one that justifies and cleanses us from our sins. Justified, just if I had not, that's what he makes us out to be. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night." Satan will do everything he can to make us stumble, to make us offend God in some way or to be displeasing to him. Satan is that accuser of the brethren and is doing everything he can to leave a stain on our names before Christ comes back. But the thing is, as long as we turn to God, who is our justifier, and we are truly repentful of the things that we have done, then he's going to forgive us. Romans chapter 8, 31 through 34. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 34 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us." Satan can tempt us, bother us, do whatever he wants. But the thing is, he is not going to be the judge of our lives, and he is not the justifier of our lives. It is God and God only. With Jesus as our justifier, Satan cannot win. Satan cannot stand a chance of winning. It just goes to show that there's one more thing that I think we can all be thankful for in regards to Jesus, and that is that Jesus is our propitiation. Jesus is our propitiation. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Verses 1 and 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world." The word propitiation, it means to regain the favor of, or reconciliation. It means that we were once in this position, but no longer are. But the thing is that he's not just the propitiation for our sins, but he's the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. He's willing to forgive the world if the world is willing to repent and come to him and continue to thank him for this offering, this sacrifice in which he gave, in which our sins are covered. Romans chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. It says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Basically, our sins are covered. It's not the fact that Jesus has clothed or covered our lives with garments of righteousness and holiness and purity, a reason to be thankful. But Jesus being as the propitiation for our sins, we can have every reason to be thankful. We can be thankful because we are made in His image, because He cares for us, because He is our justifier, and because He is our propitiation. This holiday season is a time of giving thanks, or is what we regard to as a time of giving thanks. But Paul, in his letters to Thessalonica, is saying that every day is the time to give thanks. We have much to be thankful for as Christians. Sometimes we tend to not remember this one, but we need to let that be our disposition, and we need to continue to maintain that. There's a biblical scholar by the name of Matthew Henry. He was robbed once, and this experience prompted him to write the summary in his daily diary that he kept. He wrote, "Let me be thankful first, because he never robbed me before. Second, because although he took my stuff, he did not take my life. Third, because although he took all I possessed, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, and not I who robbed." We need to be thankful. When times are hard, or whether times are good, it is a time to be thankful. One last scripture comes to mind, and it's James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." Consider it all joy. Considering all joy means it goes along with that idea of being thankful, and that idea of when things get tough, then we need to be thankful to God, because it's maybe it's a test for us, maybe it's something that He knows that we can get through as long as we continue to rely on Him. To be thankful is a huge part for the Christian. It helps to change the heart, and it helps to remind us of why we. It helps to remind us of why we need to be thankful. Christ has given us opportunity after opportunity, every day here on this earth, to be thankful for him, but also He gives us an opportunity to be thankful that we made a proper decision, the decision to follow Him and to be Christians, to be the fellow servants, to be a family in which we together partake in this Thanksgiving that He has given us to celebrate in life. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you have an opportunity to be washed for the remission of your sins, to be washed in that cleansing flood in which He paid the ultimate price for. Also, if there's anything that anyone might be struggling with, if they need to come forward and ask for prayers or comfort, this church is here for you and God is here for you. Jesus cares for you. If there's anything that we can do for anyone, please come as we stand and sing.